a spectacular day it is here at Union College, and what a day for a brand new show, The Best of Boston Sports Media. Now, how does this show work? Well, let me tell you. As everyone knows, there are many different sports media personalities and shows in the Boston market. This is 98.5 The Sports Hub and their famous Felgren Mass, all the shows on WEEI, even NBC Sports Boston, Nesson, and Barstool, just to name a few. Now, they have shows that run from Monday to Thursday each week, and so what I'm going to do is I listen to them, read about them, and I'm going to summarize the top 10 takes from all these shows each week. Now, there is a point system for these shows. The show that has the number one take for that week will get 3 points. The second best take will get 2 points, and the third best take will get 1 point. Make sure to follow along at The Drew Busney Show on Instagram to see up-to-date weekly rankings. Each month, we will announce a winner, so let's see who the first dynasty of the Best of Boston Sports Media will be. Let's jump into it right now. Coming in at number 10, from Felger and Mass, the 24-minute, 50-second timestamp, this is their take. The Celtics looked like the distracted, unfocused version of themselves in the loss to Houston, which was this Wednesday. Now, this criticism of the Celtics' poor execution and lack of focus is normal after winning a championship. It's always hard to defend the title. Even harder in modern day, just because the offseason is shorter, there's a lot more games, 82 games, and you're playing almost every other day and often back-to-back days. But what I've come to realize is the only thing that actually matters are the playoffs. The Celtics are a good enough team to have an average regular season, get their way into the playoffs, and as I mentioned on the Drew Busney show last Tuesday, that the team doesn't need the one seed. I think home court advantage is overrated, and I think the Celtics are a good enough team. You saw it by only losing one game on the road last year, if that. I believe actually it was maybe both games were at home. But you see that going on the road in the playoffs for these great teams doesn't really matter. So I'd rather them all be healthy and all be playing their best basketball going into the playoffs. So I don't really care that they don't look focused, they look unprepared. It's only January, we haven't even hit the All-Star break. What I'm looking for, and we'll see if the media talks about this, what I'm looking for is are they going to be hot going to the playoffs? Because that's all that matters. Teams have great regular seasons, but then they flop in the playoffs because they're not playing well by the time it comes around, and so the regular season is invalidated because at the end of the day, what matters is how far you get into the playoffs and how many championships you win. Coming in at number 9 is the Celtics postgame podcast on the Celtics' 22-point win against the Chicago Bulls. It comes from the 1:32 mark, and they say that Kristaps Porzingis has overtaken Jaylen Brown as Boston's fire-starting meeting. In the first 5-10 minutes of the game, he comes out with the energy. He sets the tone for the last 30-odd minutes of the game. Now, is Kristaps Porzingis more important than Jaylen Brown in these huge shift moments in the team dynamic? I think it's too early to say. That's why it comes at number 9, because Porzingis and Brown have only played 11 games together so far this season. So it's hard to compare their effect, because when one of them plays, it's skewed because they might have more energy, but the other person's not playing. So how do we know who has the bigger role in the shifter of energy title? We only know when they play together because we can see who has the more energy, but 11 games is a small sample size. The past two games, Porzingis has brought the energy, that self-dunk over Dylan Brooks, again, the crowd going, the 4-for-4, 14-point start in the opening 5 minutes of the game against the Bulls. Definitely the past few games, he's been coming alive in the opening quarters, but Jaylen Brown, we saw this a lot, longer trend of him doing that, so we have to see how it's going to keep going. As the two play more games together, we can see that how this trend is going to develop. We get to number 8 from Felger and Mass. Talking about the Red Sox here, Mookie Betts, saying Mookie Betts was never really a Red Sox. He is now enshrined as a Dodger now. It's a brutal statement, really, that erases Betts' time in Boston that included the 2018 World Series, really blaming the Red Sox for failing to keep this generational talent. And yes, it was all on the organization who did not want to pay him, which is the trend nowadays that the Red Sox do not want to pay these players. But to say that he's a Dodger, it's hard. He talks so much about how he loves his time in Boston, how he loves Fenway Park. He loves the people. The fans are better than the Dodgers fans. They're more into it. They're more passionate. They're more critical. So to say that he's never really a Red Sox is hard. I think he's making more of his legacy come through the Dodgers with the two World Series wins. but he started as a Red Sox. I think he'll forever be a Red Sox. And he won a World Series with the Red Sox. So to say that he was erased, I think is a very strong statement. Coming at number 7 is also from Felger, Mass. At the 37-minute, 1-second mark, we're talking about the comparison between Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce. Saying one game, one moment, I'm taking Robert Gronkowski over Travis Kelce. Now, this is a never-ending debate in sports. Who's better? Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes. Now it's Rob Gronkowski, Travis Kelce. Felger and Mass have their hard stance, of course, being on the Patriots, which is weird, because usually they're very critical of the Patriots, but they take the Patriots stance right here. Now, for me at least, I agree with that. You look at the way they operate. Kelce's really dependent on Mahomes. I wonder that if he did not have a great quarterback in Mahomes, how well he would do. Now, Kelce does have this talent of when the play's breaking down and Mahomes is running around everywhere, he seems to get open. He can fake the route or call an audible on his own route to get open. He always seems to get open. But the threat that Gronkowski has, I think, is greater. Because in order to get him down, you saw everyone went for his knees. The amount of times he had knee injuries because they would go helmet onto knees because that was the only way to get him down. The catches he makes. I think Robert Gronkowski, one play, one moment, I'm taking him. I think Kelce's good at getting routes open, but I think more of the factor is on Mahomes, even able to find him, and he keeping the play alive. But Tom Brady, time after time again, had to go to Rob Gronkowski in critical plays. You saw in the AFC Championship game in 2018, he went to Rob Gronkowski in the critical plays. You saw that in the Super Bowl against the Rams. Critical play, you went to Rob Gronkowski. I don't really see that with Travis Kelce. I think the clutch player there is Rob Gronkowski, so I agree with this take. Coming in at number 6 for this week is from Zolak and Bertrand, coming in at about the 30-minute mark, 29 minutes, 58 seconds, saying the Bruins' 2018 Stanley Cup win was not impressive. They failed to build on it. Now, this is a harsh critique of the Bruins, who have wasted their talent and their opportunities and should have won more cups after the 2011 Stanley Cup win. And I believe that. 2013, we lost to the Blackhawks. 2018, we lost to the Blues. The Montgomery era, great regular season, always flopped in the playoffs. That huge win where we set all the records, blew the 3-1 lead to the Panthers. There's this trend of good regular seasons, bad in the playoffs. And it seems you've wasted talent or mismanaged talent. Pastrnak, Swayman get these huge deals. This year, at least, not really playing that well. Not living up to the contract, living up to the talent that they're supposed to be. So I agree with this take. I think we're on the downhill trend after that 7-2 loss to the Buffalo Sabres. Terrible loss. There's no consistency in the team. And we've had many, many chances. Spectacular teams. Record-breaking teams. There should have been one more cut between 2011 and the present day now. We're about halfway with number 5. Again, we go back to the Celtics post-game podcast. This comes from 26 minutes and 40 seconds. A take we've heard far too often. The Celtics in close games do some things that are just dumb. Criticizing the Celtics' poor execution under pressure, suggesting that they have a bad habit of melting down late games. Now, basically sounds like my dad was on 95 The Sports Hub talking about this, because this is what you hear far too often from him and from most diehard Celtics fans. But, again, we go back to what I was saying earlier, that the playoffs are what matters. And if you look at the playoffs last year, and we only lost 2 games, and we were very good in the clutch. All those Eastern Conference final games came down to the clutch, and the Celtics came to be. So, again, I don't want to look too far deep into this, because, again, it's the regular season. Obviously, as we talked about, our number 10 take was that they don't look focused. So, it could be a lack of focus we don't get into the clutch. We'll get into this later. Again, on Tuesday, we'll probably get into this. But I think that we've shown the playoffs we can flip the switch, flip the mentality. We can do it. So I'm not too worried if they don't all go our way. Some have won our way this regular season, but it's really not something I'm stressing about and losing sleep over. Number 4 comes from the Patriots Talk podcast, Tommy Curran on NBC Sports Boston. Comes from the 26-minute, 36-second mark, saying that the offensive lineman should be drafted at number 4. That should be Will Campbell. Now, if you run through the mock draft, Tennessee is going to take a quarterback. Cleveland and New York Giants are all need quarterbacks, unless Cleveland decides to stay with Deshaun Watson. Now, the only twist is I've heard that Tennessee, from Adam Schefter and all that NFL reporters, want Abdul Carter. He, I believe, is the number 1 talent. I would love the Patriots to have him, But we've talked over and over again on the Drew Budsey show and my pop-up show that it's the offensive linemen are good. You see all these quarterbacks, the reason they go to greater lengths and become better quarterbacks, continue legacy, is because they have protection. Drake May, no protection. And so it's a great quarterback, but he's going to struggle. He's going to get injured. If he can get that protection, we can have our wide receivers get open faster, maybe more, and he has more time to make the right read and to score more points. So for me, maybe it doesn't have to come through draft, but definitely through free agency, one, at least one of them, maybe both of them, the offensive lineman talent needs to go up. We need to revamp that because nowadays you look at it, you look at the Eagles, you look at the Chiefs. Two teams in the Super Bowl have great offensive lines, some of the best in the league, and so that's the way you have to go. Now, before we get into our top three, let's take a quick 30-second break on the best of Boston sports media. And welcome back to the best of Boston sports media. Again, my name is Drew Busney, with you now every Thursday at 7:30 to recap the best of the Boston sports media personalities from those of 98.5 The Sports Hub, WEI, NESN, NBC Sports Boston, and Barstool. Rounding out our top three today, number three, Zolak and Bertrand, 36 minutes, 46 seconds. They get 1 point in our leaderboard. They say the Patriots made the biggest coaching upgrade in the entire NFL, a very strong endorsement that the Patriots coaching overhaul is going in the right direction and that Gerard Mayo's staff was a dumpster fire. And you see this in the trend as we go from young to experienced, Mayo to Vrabel, bringing in coaches such as Doug Marrone, Tony Dews, Riley Larkin, Josh McDaniels, Terrell Williams, all experienced coaches who know how to win the league, have been around many different teams, have a lot of experience. Some of them have been head coaches. So you're bringing this experienced group who aren't going to jump ship the minute they get a head coaching job to really develop this team and get it on an upward trajectory for the next 3, 4, 5 years. Not worrying about these young coaches that Mayo brought in who weren't good, but if they were good, imagine that, would jump ship. And it would be a constant ebb and flow. You can see in the Lions right now. They lost everyone, and they're rebuilding their staff. And who knows what their future is going to look like. So bringing these experienced coaches who know how to win, can develop a team, know how to look for talent, and know how to basically not lose. Because nowadays, if you don't lose, you win in the NFL. Because most teams are average. So by not making the stupid mistakes, you're getting a win. And these experienced coaches know that very well. They've learned that from some of the greats, including our own Bill Belichick. So this is a great take by Zolak and Bertrand. Number two, from the Celtics post-game podcast, they get 2 points, saying the Celtics have fourth quarter issues, as we've talked about, but they're saying that their coach, Joe Mazzulla, might be the problem. Now, you saw this a lot in that loss to the Rockets. There was definitely a mismanagement of timeouts, of play calling, and the big critique of Joe Mazzulla is, one, he doesn't call timeouts, and two, he doesn't really draw up good plays or really plays at all. And so we sit here and wonder that, and it comes down the stretch, does Joe Mazzulla need to do more, or is it on the players? Joe Mazzulla, yes, you could have called timeouts. We blew that challenge against the Rockets, so we only had one timeout, which hindered us down the stretch, down the clutch. So is his management of the game where it needs to be? And is his management of the game not good, but the strength of our team and how good our players are and how many stars we have, does that shadow it? Is it like Tom Brady, who shadowed all the faults of the Patriots for years because he was such a generational talent? So Joe Mazzulla, yes, he's a good coach. He won us a championship. But is he doing enough to get us in the position to win? Or is he being saved time after time again by the Celtics players? And I'm proud to announce that the first ever winner on the best of Boston sports media, gaining 3 points atop of our leaderboard for week one, you probably guessed it, they are by far the most popular sports radio programming going on from 98.5 The Sports Hub, Felger and Mass. And this is a take, if you listen to the Drew Busney show, I wholeheartedly agree with, saying that DeJohn Henry has gone 5 years without answering a single question about the Red Sox. a disgraceful owner in a market like Boston. Great, calling him out. You know there's beef between 985 The Sports Hub and John Henry, and bang, so happy someone else has finally said it. John Henry, talk to the media. Put your money where your mouth is. Do something. Spend some money. This team can only be good if you spend money. The new landscape of sports is how much money you're going to spend. Players only chase the money. Fans are mad. There's no transparency. There's too much silence. It's time you speak to the media. Great. If you don't want to spend money, come out and say that, because then we'll know what we're expecting. But you can't sit behind this veil of silence and all your lower-level people like Sam Kennedy are saying, oh, yeah, we're committed on winning. We want to win. And then you don't actually put money down and you don't actually want to spend players. So, John Henry, Felger Mass, thank you for this. John Henry, speak a little bit. Again, you can go meet Robert Kraft and learn how to ruin franchises together. Obviously, you guys don't want to spend money. But that's it for our first show of the best of Boston sports media. Thank you very much for tuning. We'll have another top 10 coming next week, Thursday, 7:30 on all your podcast platforms. And tune in on Tuesday. I'll be with the gang, Brody and Will, for all new edition of the Drew Busney Show, live on Instagram at 6 p.m. later that day on all your podcast platforms. Have a good Friday. Have a good weekend. We'll see you next week.